Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 35 of the Worldwide Knicks podcast, the recap of the draft fiasco episode. Welcome, as usual. I'm your host, Omar, alongside Rafa. Alex will be unable to join us this week, but hopefully he'll be back with us next week. Rafa, how are you doing post-draft?
I'm numb. I don't know. The quote, we were all talking in group chat, and I laughed way too much at almost 3 a.m. Alex just went, shit, I spent all this time learning about the rookies that the Knicks could draft, and they got nothing. I'm going to bed.
Like, you know, every single Knicks content creator was saying that. Like, you know, and then we end up with Trevor Keels in the second round from Duke, and who I actually like. You know, I kind of looked into him a little bit. I think he's a project. We're not going to really talk about Keels all that much. I did feel bad for him, though, because we'll get into this in a second, but obviously Knicks fans were real pissed about what the team did in the first round. Yeah. And the poor team, or the poor guy, is getting introduced on social media from the team, and he's just catching strays from the fan base, you know? Yeah. And and I'm just like, man, this kid just realized his dream. He got drafted by an NBA team, you know, and then you're just shitting on it because you didn't like what they did in the first round. And that was kind of shitty to me.
Well, that's Knicks fans. They booed Deang as well a bit when he was drafted, announced as a Knicks pick before he was traded. He was booed as well. So it's kind of, it's Knicks fans. We booed. Who didn't we boo? Team Haraway Jr.?
Did they boo RJ?
I don't think they did, but they wanted Zion still.
Well, so yeah, they were disappointed in the lottery, but I think once they got RJ, they were okay with it. I remember I had come across an old video that I had posted up to like my Snapchat or whatever of my live reaction to the pick when they drafted RJ. And I was like ecstatic because I was so don't kill me. But at that moment, there was a little bit of rumors that they might take Garland. And, you know, Garland was coming off an injury in college, and he's kind of a small guard. And I was just like, I wasn't super sold on him. Obviously I was wrong. He's turned into an excellent NBA player, but yeah, I really wanted RJ, and he just seemed, you know, that photo with him with the Knicks cap was circulating the whole thing. And I was just like, we just want this guy. But
yeah, I was sold on RJ as well. I was like, man, we dropped to third. So yeah, it's RJ is the best one. Let's do it. Maybe we should focus on this draft as well.
Again, already off the rails 2 minutes in. So yeah, let's talk about the draft. So obviously this past week was the 2022 NBA draft where the Knicks had the 11th pick. And if you guys listened last week, we all kind of went back and forth about prospects, and we broke down six major targets. The Knicks ended up with none of those six players. As a matter of fact, they didn't even have a pick in the first round. They traded out of the number 11 pick with multiple trades. Now, before we talk about the impact of those trades, let's kind of lay it out. So the Knicks had the 11th pick. They selected Usman Zhang.
I'm not going to lie. When we drafted another French player, I was like, oh, my God.
We got Frank PTSD.
Yes.
So they end up trading that pick to Oklahoma City. And it took them so long to figure out what they were going to do. Now, right before they made the pick, though, there was rumors like, that they really wanted to get Ivy, who obviously got drafted by Detroit. But Detroit really wanted Durin, so maybe they're going to draft Durin and facilitate a trade after the fact. That doesn't happen. So they get the three firsts from OKC. Then it comes down to the 13th pick, and Charlotte selects Durin, who then gets traded in a three-way deal with the Knicks and the Pistons. And we think, this is how we're going to get Ivy. No, this is how we're going to salary dump Kemba. So Durin and Kemba go to the Pistons. The Hornets get like a first and 3 or 4 seconds.
Bucks and, first, right?
Yeah. And the Knicks get the Bucks first, you know? So we gave them like one of the picks we got from OKC.
The Denver one.
The Denver pick. And which is probably the one that's most quickly going to convey, oddly enough, but whatever. So Knicks Twitter was in shambles. They were outraged, and what the hell's Leon doing? So let's talk about the picks. So what they ultimately ended up doing, they lost four second round picks. Big deal. They got rid of Kemba and his $9 million salary. They traded away their pick, but got three first-round picks in the future. So that's the trade was a first, Kemba, 4 seconds for three future firsts. Think about however you want to think about it, but that's ultimately what they did. So the first is a first-round pick from Detroit, and these are the protections. Top 18 protected next year and the following year. Top 13 protected in 2025. Top 11 protected in 2026. And top 9 protected in 2027. If it doesn't convey, then they get a second-round pick in 2027. Then you have a first-round pick from Washington, which is lottery protected, so top 14 in 2023, top 12 protected in 2024, top 10 protected in 25, top 8 in 26, and if it doesn't convey, it turns into 2 second-round picks in 27. And the last one, which is the easiest one to understand, is a 2025 Milwaukee first-round pick that they got from Detroit, which is part of the Jeremy Grant deal with Portland. And that is top 4 protected, which should convey easily since, Milwaukee's not going to be a lottery team in a couple of years. Yep. I think we could all agree on that. So the way I look at these picks, Rafa, is if you're a Knicks fan, you're rooting for the Pistons and the Wizards every game this coming year. You want them both to be in the playoffs. So this pick can convey next year. So you could, it could be a real asset. But the way I'm looking at it, I could see the Pistons pick conveying in 25. And the Wizards pick probably next year. Yeah.
Yeah. If Beal signs next year.
Yeah. If they can make the playoffs, I think they could do that. At worst, I think 2024 is when it conveys for Washington.
Yeah.
So they got assets. And they, by not picking at 11, they cleared some cap space for this summer. So by shedding Kemba's contract and not having to pay a lottery pick contract. So, what was now that the dust has settled, what is kind of your read on what they did in the first round?
I think it's I said last week, I wanted chaos and I wanted trades. I got both. Not the level I was expecting, because I was kind of hyped for the Knicks actually moving up, going into slightly different part of the conversation. We did discuss last week that trading with the Kings wasn't going to be easy because we don't have what they need. So it was a hard thing to do. And the Pistons, the Pistons really wanted Ivy. It's Ivy went to school there earlier in his life. He lived in Detroit with his mother. So
and his mom was WNBA player in Detroit
Exactly.
And his grandfather played for the Detroit Lions. So there's a lot of history there.
Grandfather, I didn't know. Okay. Yeah. So we were always talking about bring the kid from New York. Hey, Mel, he's a kid from Detroit, basically. So there's a lot of history. That's why probably it's not about assets or lack of assets trading with Detroit. Well, Detroit really wanted Ivy. Like, no, Ivy's the guy. Ivy knows Detroit. He's history. So it was a tough break for the Knicks to make that trade. So, yeah, I just wanted to say that.
So the way I'm looking at it is the Kings were not going to make the deal because they really wanted Keegan Murray. And they that Keegan Murray was not going to fall to 11. So if they're going to take a trade, they would probably only would have traded with Detroit at 5 or Indiana at 6. And that didn't happen, obviously. Once the Kings went off the board, it's like, okay, well, we got to trade with Detroit. Detroit, I think, was looking at it as like, yeah, we like Durant. Sure, we can get some future assets from the Knicks if they could get this guy. But they, like you said, they identified the guy and they weren't going to let him go. And that's like what these teams do. It's like they identify the guy that they want. They're going to take him no matter what. I mean, you could give them a crazy package. They don't know what the future holds. So especially with how fast people get fired in this league. You see somebody who you want, you go ahead and get them. And I guess like, what do you think the package was that they offered to get Ivy from Detroit?
I think we, got all the picks available, try to give them all, like the Dallas ones, probably even the we drafted the ones we got from OKC, have them all. I think Obi might have been in the deal. If they went young, I think Obi was one of them. I don't know about Quickly, but probably Quickly as well. to, well, if they were taking Ivy, so okay, we're getting Ivy, get something in return for that spot. But I have trouble believing it was offering quickly, because I was really, we mentioned this during the week. We were talking about how Ivy could be starting with quickly and RJ. I think if that was their plan, that was something that was in a way, if they wanted to keep quickly, not trading him. So kind of hard. Maybe the picks, Cam was in there as well, probably Obi. And they wanted probably to get a few veterans as well. Burks or Kemba in there. Maybe we took someone back from the Pistons as well. But the picks weren't enough, because I think the Pistons...
Ultimately, the Pistons just wanted Ivy. And yeah, I can't blame
exactly
them, because they're just looking at it like, okay, we got Cade Cunningham coming off a pretty good rookie year. Guy looks like he has the goods. And we get him a backcourt mate for the next 10 years. And that it's hard to get to talk them out of that. Like, you might say quickly, but maybe they're not sold on quickly. You know, like Alan Hahn was talking about how the Knicks' young players aren't really that valued around the league. And that's why that it fell apart. And I don't really necessarily agree with that.
I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah, but I think, like, people know that quickly's good. I think people know that OB has potential. I think people know what Cam Reddish can do. I think the Pistons would have loved Cam Reddish. I think that, you know, you just got rid of Jeremy Grant. And if you're going to make a move for Ayton, potentially, you know, then you get a guy like Reddish there on the wing defensively. That would be helpful. But, you know, ultimately they're like, we like Ivy. Let's roll with Ivy.
That's the thing. That's the situation. Both teams that were available to trade to get Ivy. Well, the Kings kind of, when they got Sabonis, they had Sabonis, so Obi didn't need him. Randall didn't need him because they got Sabonis. And they don't really want quickly because they have their guards already, the two-point guards they want to play. And it was Grimes and Cam. Mm-hmm. And Grimes and Cam and other picks are not enough to go to the top four in the draft. Well, if the Pistons are eyeing Ayton, they don't care about Mitch either, if you wanted to offer Mitch in a way. So the teams didn't really suit the players, the surplus of players that we have. None of them did. And if you wanted to, if the plan was to move up, for example, again, for with the Blazers to then get that pick and then move it up, if the plan, if you could give up, for example, Julius Randle to the Blazers, well, they went up in flames when they got Grant. Mm-hmm. So not necessarily because Grant is better, because Grant would be cheaper than Randall. That's my understanding. But
Grant doesn't have the extension. You know, that's the main thing. Grant's an expiring after this year, so they could kind of, you know, move off of him if that doesn't work. Randall, they're locked in for another 3 to 4 years. Kudos to the Pistons, by the way. Great draft for them. You know, they get Jaden Ivey to start at the two immediately, I would imagine, and an exciting prospect at center in Jalen Duren, who was available to the Knicks at 11 if they decided to keep their pick. Obviously, Johnny Davis went 10, so that was probably a big target of theirs off the board. But, you know, Duren, A.J. Griffin were still on the board. I mean, Ty dropped all the way down to 30, but he was still on the board.
Griffin dropped the 16th as well. So.
Yeah, I think that's the injury concerns, right? That probably took a lot of teams off of him. Do you think that there was a player that they should have taken with 11? Like, to me, Duren jumps out, but that's about it.
Yeah, I don't think if they didn't believe in AJ Griffin, who's another one we talked. I mean, I don't really see someone because the big guys we mentioned that we could have drafted, they were all gone. Mm-hmm. And people got mad at the Knicks, got mad at the Leon, and got mad at the front office for letting the pick go. They didn't pick. They did not a draft team anymore, which is dumb as well. But it's like you go into a draft, and they clearly had the game plan. The game plan is to, first of all, try and get the pick to get Jaden Ivey. That's what they wanted. They wanted Ivey. And if not Ivy, probably Davis. That was the other name that was talked. Maybe Davis as a consolation prize. Right. And okay, Davis was gone at 10. So, well, that's that. The Knicks looked at the draft and said, okay, there's no one here that would work for us right now because we have a log. We have the lanes are clogged, wings, and the right. players that were drafted mostly around here or forwards, big forwards, or wings. It's like, yeah, we don't need more of those. So we moved center. Everybody was mad if the Knicks drafted a center at 11, but probably doesn't look so bad now. But yeah, they moved up. Okay, we have our game plan. That's our plan. It didn't work out because other teams also have minds of their own. And so let's make the best. Let's try plan B, which is free agency, and try and get someone. So I'm not really mad about this. I'm not really mad about they're not drafting anyone because I don't think there was anyone else available that would fit the Knicks right now. So I'm not I will hold my judgment and to see what they do with these picks and doing free right. agency, because that's the thing. They're preparing something, and well, let's wait and see. So I'm not really mad. I'll just say this.
If you look at like the players that are drafted after 11, the only ones that really were on their radar, you know, up until the draft, you know, Durin from Memphis, of course, Mark Williams out of Duke, AJ Griffin out of Duke, yeah. and maybe Tari Eason from LSU. And, you know, I think ultimately, like you said, the Knicks had their guys. You know, I think Ivy obviously was the main guy. I think they liked Mathurin, and I think they really liked Johnny Davis. And all those guys were gone. So they're like, yeah. well, all the guys we liked are gone. Time to go ahead and just punt on this draft. And, you know, eventually they end up with Trevor Keels.
Supposed to be a lottery pick, right? A year ago.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I mean, he has an interesting game. He's a big guard. He's like 6'4 guard. Yeah. You know, he's like stocky though. The shot, not great. You know, I'll be honest. You know, but
history. It's the history of the Knicks, right?
Yeah, he can drive to the bucket pretty good. And you know, I don't know. I'd like to see how he develops in the G League, because I'm assuming he'll be in Westchester the primary bulk of the year. Another guy who fell right before the Knicks picked in the second round was Jaden Hardy. I was surprised he went into the second round. Out of G League Ignite. I know Ersan was big on him from a talent perspective.
Yeah.
but it is what it is. Well, like I said, we'll see what happens. See what happens at free agency.
You said, oh, maybe Durin was available. It was a guy that was on the Knicks' radar. But maybe they looked at it and said, do we want to draft Durin? And or do we do this and shed some cap with Kemba? Maybe they look, okay, Durin could be a guy to use, but if we're resigning Mitch, there's no point, so let's use it to get some, free up some cap.
The team is trying to win games, and if you're trying to win games, you don't draft a rookie center in the lottery, because those guys take time to develop. That's a position that takes a lot of time to develop. Like, look at how James Wiseman has struggled so much, you know. But you look through the history, unless you're like a Shaq or Hakeem type player, you know, you take a long time to develop as a center in this league. So I think that, you know, they made the decision like, we'll just try and re-sign Mitchell Robinson, or, you know, go the route of a free agent center like Jakob Poeltl or Mo Bamba or whoever is available for that mid-level exception, later in free agency. But a lot of people prognosticated that the Knicks did this to free up cap space for free agency. Obviously, we know the team needs a point guard, and desperately has needed one for a couple of years, if we're being completely honest. One of the big names is, you know, Jalen Brunson, Villanova kid, Dallas Mavericks guard. Rick Brunson, his father, was just hired by the team for Thibodeau's staff. Now, for a while, it seemed like the Mavs were going to be able to re-sign him. But now there seems to be more thoughts that he's going to get pursued by the Knicks for a pretty long 4 or 5 year deal.
Yeah.
So I guess first, a two-part question. Can the Knicks outbid Dallas for this player? And if they do, is Brunson the answer?
Well, the outbid the Mavs, is what we are able and we want to pay Brunson, what we think he deserves. We did say throughout the year, because Brunson is not a new topic with the Knicks, is something around $20 million was for him. Now the talk is about around 25, because he showed up in the playoffs. People were expecting him not to show up in the playoffs. He kind of did. So his value went up a bit. Dallas, we did talk about this as well, that Dallas really put themselves in the corner when they re-signed Finney Smith over Brunson. And now they need Brunson as well, because Brunson, was massive. But if he's the answer, he's better than what we have the last couple of years. If he stays, maintains his pace of play, he's better than what he had. And with the answer, do you mean the guy to get us into a championship contention? Because, not with this roster, but...
Yeah, back to the playoffs, we'll say. Like, a guy who could get you to win one playoff series.
Looking good with the team, what we did last year as well, with all the injuries and the Kemba situation, if we had Brunson, don't you think we could have made the playoffs last year? Or the play-ins?
Play-in probably. The Julius Randle element is very real there, right? Julius had a bad year. There's just no the efficiency was down, the mind state and the whole fan thing, whatever, it was a lot of bad optics and a lot of bad play from Julius, especially on defense this past year. I think they could probably come into play-in. They were within shouting distance of the play-in with Alec Burks as their point guard,
That's what I'm saying.
With the money thing, people saying, 20, 25 million, that's too much, it's overpay. So let me offer you some guys who are making between 20 and 25 million as point guards in the league right now. You have Lonzo Ball, 19.5 per. You got Spencer Dinwiddie, Fred VanVleet, Terry Rozier, Malcolm Brogdon, Mike Conley, and then you get into Kyle Lowry making 28 million. Chris Paul as well. And that $28 million frame. So
I can see him hanging out with some of those guys.
Is he better than Terry Rozier as point guard? Yeah, I think so. But the thing you're seeing is, a lot of people are just underwhelmed. They're just looking at it from this perspective of like, we got to win now. I've been starving for 20 years. And I'm just like, that's not really how it works. Like, it brings me back to the whole thing that happened on draft night, where on the ESPN coverage, I think.
Oh, my God.
You had, Stephen A. Smith and Spike Lee on their knees begging to the basketball gods to be able to get, a good player or something. Or I don't know what the hell they were doing. So it's just like, it speaks to the impatience of this fan base. And I get that's part of playing in New York. That's part of being a Knick, You deal with that pressure of the fan base, but come on, man! We have a lot of young players. Our cornerstone just turned 22, and that's the thing. It's just we got to give these guys a little bit of time before we just want to say fuck this, scrap it all up,
Just to mention Stephen A. Smith, he is the epitome of Knicks for clicks. Because that's how he gets his big views. It's when he talks shit about the Knicks. So when you make talk rubbish about the Knicks and make Kendrick Perkins look decent, you're doing something wrong with your life. So give it up. Yeah, man. And there was something interesting I read on Twitter, and actually interesting, not bullshit. When you are after a big guy, like a guy like a Donovan Mitchell with a big contract, you need to have on your team, not contract as big as those, but big contracts as well, so you can move them up, so you can to match salaries. Instead of, we need to match salaries, so we have three guys getting 7.5, so that we have to trade all three of them to make salaries match. No. Here's this guy, like a Fournier, is around 20. Or imagine in the future, a Brunson, he's a 20, 22. million. So this matches salary. The salary is met. So let's talk other assets, picks, and stuff to make the trades happen. I think that was an interesting point. And not Kyle Brunson is not the guy that we need. We should wait for the star. They don't come that often. Oh, we need a top 10 guard in the league. So does everyone. Like, right. Everybody wants them. And they're not easy to come by, especially when they team up on one team. Because superstars aren't spread out anymore. No, they're bunched up together in two or three teams. So it's not easy. So you need to give the young guys the time to build, like we're mentioning with RJ Barrett and Quickly and Obi Toppin. But you need to also build a good team around them so they can develop, not playing in the myth of lottery teams after lottery teams. No, oh, look at this. We're making the playoffs, making a few shots. So it's good. Don't you think the Celtics, when going into the finals, they will learn from that? They will rage from that? We were so close. We almost tasted it. It will build up the fuel.
The thing that gets me about it is people are acting like, oh, you bring Brunson, that means you're committed to a core of Brunson, Randall, and RJ. I'm like, ideally, if you bring in Brunson, you want him to be the second or third piece to a big-time player that you bring over, right? So whether that's like, I'm not saying he's going to be available, but let's say, for example, you have the ability to get a Giannis or a Kawhi or even a Paul George, right? And then you say, okay, cool. We have this young guy who's getting a lot better in RJ. We got a solid hand in the backcourt with the Jalen Brunson who could do things. Now let's bring in this wing player. Or even if you want to sign Ayton. Now let's bring in DeAndre Ayton. Yeah. And depending on who you think is a high leverage star, you know, whatever your evaluation is, whatever it is. So it's not the be all end all, you know, like we're not in a situation like the Lakers where we have to win now because LeBron is getting older, you know, and you don't know how much prime he has left. Like ideally you would want your superstar here to be RJ. Like this is a guy you spent a high pick on. It's a guy you've invested a lot of development dollars and money into and time into. And who you're going to extend either this summer or next summer. So that's the end game, right? Is getting a complimentary piece to lure that person down the line, you know, to lure that's how these things form, right? That's how KD went to the Warriors, you know? They developed their guys and they brought in the superstar.
Yeah, the Warriors already have their superstars, but look at other examples. Where did Kawhi Leonard and Paul George end up?
Clippers.
And the Clippers, a team that spent money on a few players. They made a few good – they took care of themselves in the playoffs as well. And they went
there. You got to show that you're competent. You know, that's the thing. You have
to show superstar players go to teams that already have good teams. Look at
– No one's rushing to be signed by Orlando. Or OKC right now.
Exactly.
Because those are rebuilding, you know, tanking teams. That's why guys go to Philly. It's why guys go to Miami. You know, they've shown that they could win playoff games.
Even Washington. Mm-hmm. Look at Washington. They have, if they resign Beal, they have Porzingis. Maybe that's an attractive thing for a guy like KD. Look at the going home. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's idiotic to think that we need to not spend money on anyone and signing Brunson, we will, look at this franchise going to spend X amount of millions of dollars and on Randall and Brunson, like they're going to bring the championship. That's not it.
So beyond Brunson now, you also have chatter a little bit about Colin Sexton. You have a little bit about DeJounte Murray, or a lot about DeJounte Murray right now.
Yeah.
And a little bit about John Wall in the buyout market. So,
God,
of these four options, like if you were to bring somebody in, who do you see as the best fit?
The best fit. Wow. Well, I'm looking at either Brunson or Sexton.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, of those four, my favorite player, and I mentioned him before, is Murray. But I understand that the fit with the Knicks and with RJ and Randall and it wouldn't be great. So I would love to have him as a Knick, but I understand that he's not the best fit and he's older to develop that thing to play with RJ Barrett. So, and, okay. So, well, he's not old, that old. He's 25, I think. So, but yeah. So Sexton already improved his shot a bit. He was not the greatest shooter, but he's better at it. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the team we have now, or the in the players we were mentioning, Brunson is the guy who is more well accustomed to playing off ball, mm-hmm. to let Quickly have the ball when he needs it, to let Randall have the ball, to let RJ have the ball, because he was playing with Luka Doncic and Luka had the ball, not Jalen Brunson all the time. Luka was the primary ball handler. So maybe the best fit could be Brunson, but I always swing between overpaying a player, like for example in Brunson, or over trading for a guy like Colin Sexton. Mm-hmm. See, not over, because you need to give up assets for Sexton, and yeah. for Brunson you give up money.
Yeah,
and you have tons of money in New York, so
yeah. I've been, as you know, on the Sexton train for a while. And
you did?
Yeah, I know, right? yeah, if you guys follow our Twitter, anything pro Colin Sexton, that's coming from me. And I just look at this guy as a guy who's super quick. Now, we don't know how he's going to be post-injury. That's a fair critique. A guy who could hit the three at a pretty good rate. You know, throughout his career, he's hovered around that 40% mark. And I just think that Cleveland's going in on Garland, you know. And I know they kind of want Sexton back, but I don't know. I feel like the right sign-and-trade package, you could intrigue Cleveland to letting him walk. And the problem with like him and Brunson is that defensively they're not that great, you know.
And are they worse than Kemba?
No, but
it's an like improvement.
Sexton especially has had moments where he just like gives up on plays, you know. And that's, I don't know if that's just like when they were losing a bunch in Cleveland, or if that's an indictment on him as a player. Brunson comes from Villanova; he'll play defense, but the physical attributes just aren't there for him to be able to defend a lot of lead guards in the league. So whereas Quickly has like a pretty decent wingspan, you know, so that becomes like an interesting comment. Now Murray's an excellent defender, you know, he's long and he commits to defense as well, but the shot's not really there. So all of these guys are flawed is what I'm getting at. I don't know, I just feel like the scoring element that you would have with Sexton would take some of the pressure off of Julius and RJ, and Sexton can play off ball. He did for
Yeah.
You know, he's learning to do that with Garland in Cleveland. So I think both either him or Brunson are good fits, but I personally would like to see Sexton a little bit more.
He's younger, right? 2 years, maybe?
Yeah, he's a little younger. Yeah. I think he's like 23.
So he fits the ages, so it's perfect.
Yeah, the timeline's there, exactly. so all this talk about all these guards, but one thing still remains. Emmanuel Quickly is still on this roster. You know, and I don't know if you saw this, Rafa, but he updated his Instagram bio that now says New York Knicks point guard. So
sending a message.
He's letting people know that, yes, I am a point guard. No, I'm not a guy who's good in his role or a spark plug off the bench.
You know? Ooh.
Yeah, that's what they all say about it, right?
I've said that, so yeah.
Yeah, everybody said it at one point or another. I stopped doubting this dude about midway through last year. I'm like, this guy is good. He's got it. You know, whatever it is, he has it. So I guess what's the argument here to say, you know what? We got Quickly. We think he's good. Why not just run with him?
Maybe that's a little bit of protection. I don't know if it's a... I'm thinking about it the right way. I mean, maybe they're protecting Quickly from throwing him to the Wolves, because we talked about this last couple of weeks, the pressure of being a point guard in New York, or being a player in New York, but in this case, a point guard. And you're throwing Quickly out there. Kemba's gone. Rose is, you don't know what Rose is. So many injuries last year. We don't know how he is this year. And other than that, it's McBride.
Yeah.
So we talked about this week about how if we started quickly, maybe we could get a guy like Ricky Rubio to play that second unit with to learn that make the same role as Rose had, but playing behind quickly. Because none of those guys we mentioned will play behind Emmanuel quickly. So I would be perfectly fine if we played with Emmanuel quickly, we started quickly, because we're not winning championships. We're trying to improve the team. And if we want Emmanuel quickly and RJ Barrett to be the backcourt of the future, why not start now? Unless they don't think they're the backcourt of the future. I don't.
That's kinda the issue to me, Rafa. It's,
yeah.
What do you want this guy to be? You know, like you've determined what RJ is, you know, but you haven't really determined what this guy who has put up really good numbers per 36 and has shown improvement in playmaking his year over year. And year three is a lot of times when these guards really pop. So, like Garland, is this past year, his third year, he popped to an All-Star. You know, so I'm not saying that Emmanuel quickly is Darius Garland, but, you know, you don't know until you take the training wheels off and let this guy run with it. Now, if it fails, it fails. It is what it is. But I think that he's shown enough capability. And again, if your idea is that you're going to move off Julius Randle and it's done, it hasn't worked, whatever, and you're going to roll with Obi Toppin as your small forward, who's run with him the most?
Yeah.
Since he's been a rookie? Who's absolutely always on the floor when he's on the floor? You know, it's Emmanuel quickly. And Emmanuel quickly has played a lot with RJ. So there's a familiarity there. So you bring in a guy like Brunson, a guy like Sexton, a guy like Murray, whoever the case may be. And then you're just, again, you're shoving this guy off to the side. And I feel like another risk you're running here of bringing in, like, the whole star point guard thing is, like, is this – we think that this past year RJ really took over the keys in the second half of the season. You know, it became his team, right? It was kind of like Julius's team. And it was like, man, it's Julius and RJ together. Now it's firmly RJ's team, right? I think even I, the Julius Randle fan that's left, can admit that it's RJ's team. Okay, so
you and Kendra.
Yeah, me and Kendra are the only ones left. You know, shout out to my girl Kendra Randle. What good? No. but yeah, like RJ's like the focal point. I think Julius accepts this, honestly.
I think so too.
You know, like remember those games where he was like, everyone's like, oh my god, why is Julius being so passive? I think he wanted to get RJ going those nights, honestly. Yeah. You know, I think
he knew it wasn't his season, his games. Yeah, two shots. Oh, they're not going in. RJ, take over. And he did.
And then it's just like, okay, so you bring in DeJounte Murray. What message does that send? You know, like, oh yeah, you're not our main guy anymore. Kick rocks. And the reason why Quickly and Brunson make a lot of sense is that they can operate off ball. Like Brunson operates off ball a lot because he plays next to Luka Doncic. Yeah.
Exactly.
Honestly, what we haven't even mentioned here, like if you're Brunson, which one makes more sense? Like you're going to be playing next to a ball dominant player one way or the other. Because if you're going to the stake in Dallas, you got the ball dominance that is Luka Doncic. If you go to New York, you have RJ and Julius who both creep up to 30% usage rate. So it's still the same problem. Why wouldn't you stick with the team that has an ascending generational talent that just made a conference final versus a team that was just in the lottery? You know,
yeah.
That's my, like, if you're Sexton, I get it. Maybe you feel like you're losing the grip. You know, Garland has kind of replaced you. And, you know, the Cavs didn't even make the playoffs anyway. You know, so what's the harm in going to a place like New York, right? But if you're Brunson, I feel like just from a, you know, a chance of winning perspective, if they could both pay you, because I feel like Dallas is really motivated to pay him because
they have to,
because they can't attract free agents. They never have been. Like, yeah. When's the last time a big time free agent signed with Dallas?
They are in the same situation as the Knicks were last season. Mm-hmm. Like, how can we not sign this guy? We use they had Luka, but other than Luka, Brunson was their bright spot.
Yeah.
So exactly. How can they not sign him? It's like the fans would kill them for not signing Brunson. Like the fans would kill the Knicks for not signing Randall 2 years ago. So it's the same thing.
And you bring up that Randall point. Isn't it funny how people are like, oh, I can't believe we extended him, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, literally nobody was opposed to that extension going into last offseason. You're like, yeah, he just took us to the playoffs. You know, we got to re-sign this guy. And now they're like, oh, what a terrible contract. I can't believe we signed it. Like,
how mocked would we be for not if we didn't sign Julius Randle?
You know what would have happened? He would have went to, let's say, Portland, for example. And he would have balled out. They would have made the fucking playoffs. And
look at the Knicks. Look at Long Knicks.
LOL Knicks. Uh-huh. You let an also all-NBA player go. The optics, a guy who just made all-NBA second team. To just let him walk and understand.
All NBA, most improved player, all-star, MVP votes, let him walk.
No, we don't want to keep you. Like, what?
No, that would never happen. That would never happen. It's crazy, man, how the narrative's shifted into that.
That's why I'm really hoping that they keep him.
They will
keep him. And that he just like goes crazy like the first couple months of the year, just to like shut people up. I think that'd be just awesome, just to for my own personal amusement when it comes to these Knicks fans. And
I am still the sole Julius Randle fan. You'll get the hell out.
Oh man, I'll become like toxic as hell if he starts like dropping like 25 and 12 every night and shit like that on good efficiency. I mean that would be
wouldn't a guy like Brunson be helpful for that efficiency because they were inefficient. So, yeah. Well, Randall and RJ were inefficient because they had to take every shot and every possession. Because Mitch isn't doing anything. Mm-hmm. Fournier wasn't doing what we expected him to do.
Yeah. And did we expect Fournier to do? I guess is the real question, right?
We talked about how Fournier would create more the shot for himself and for others, and he didn't quite do that because his chemistry with Randall never quite picked up. Mm-hmm. And he broke the record for threes, but he wasn't what we expected him to be. He was a liability on defense with Kemba. And I hate to beat around the horse, but Tibbs never helped either of them. It's a point I always mention. They never helped. The chemistry wasn't there, and they just go at it. You figure it out. Well, they didn't, and it cost us a bit. Maybe they worked it in the off season. I don't know. There were no off season videos about that. I don't believe it. But
yeah, and
we were like, expecting more of Fournier.
Yeah. I just feel like it's hard to judge Randall and Barrett on their years last year too critically because you had Alec Burks and a washed Kemba Walker at point guard. I feel like, again, if you don't sign any of these guys and you go with Quickly, that's still an upgrade over those guys,
at that position. Still thank Alec Burks for his services because he never complained.
Yeah, I'm not gonna fault Alec Burks.
You didn't see him complain. Situation. He was his stock was going down because of it. Well, in the fans' eyes, not probably the other franchises, but Alec Burks was in a great position as a guy playing in the second unit, and he was bumped into the first unit and got put into an amazingly difficult spot. And you never saw him complain. You never saw him mope around on the floor or anything. He tried it, but it didn't work. But so I can't criticize Alec Burks.
He was a professional, and I hold nothing against him. He was put into a bad situation. But again, that's Thibodeau being too stubborn to just try and run with Quickly.
But when it's the thing, when Burks was introduced into the first starting lineup, mm-hmm. it was in a period where Quickly wasn't
He's in the middle of a slump.
Special. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember when Quickly had a game when he was so bad he played 5 minutes of that game?
Yep.
Quickly was not amazing. Then Quickly got into his rhythm when he got into that second unit.
Now, I'll tell you what, man. This is why the Fire Tips crowd, this is what gives them ammunition. Because when you have a young player, and it's happened with RJ a bunch, they're going to go through moments where they're bad, you know, because they're still figuring out the NBA game. RJ's had a bunch of those moments, you know, because he's a young player. You know, Quickly's a young player. So what do? You usually, most coaches who are developing players like that will let them get their run. But Tibbs, he's like, oh, you missed, you had a couple turnovers and you missed a couple shots. Can't trust you. Get you out of here. Derek, get back in there. Or Alec, get back in there. And that's when they say that he's not helping develop players, that is the ammunition they have. I don't think it's as black and white as that, but that's kind of where they get their fuel to the fire of, like, Tibbs isn't helping the development of young players.
It's a different type of teaching. Like, it's instead of, if you're trying to win games and make the playoffs, those plays are costly. And it's like not like the Rockets or the Magic last year. Like, the Rockets, Kevin Porter, you had 6 turnovers. Don't worry, get out there. Mm. We're not fighting for anyone. Just make your mistakes.
Yeah. Oh,
here we, if you're wanting to make the playoffs, those mistakes count.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that. It's like when you're out there, be more careful with this and that. And Quickly improved. Obi improved. Like reports that Tibbs now says, no, Obi is great. I love Obi now. So where does that leave Julius as well? So it's a thing I ask myself. Maybe Mitch is gone.
He has to be able to play Julius at the 5 for like 10 minutes a game. Yeah. That's what he has to do. If he doesn't do it, then the one of them has to. That's basically it.
But then who doesn't play? Sims doesn't play. Oh, he doesn't trust the young ones to play Julius Randle. You will never happy. Never.
Whether it's 5 to 10 minutes, you have to get Julius in at the 5. He did it in New Orleans with relatively decent success.
Yeah.
So it's not like he can't do it. I just don't think Tibbs is just, he values rim protection so much that he doesn't want to give up 5 to 10 minutes of a Jericho Sims or Mitchell Robinson out there. So.
Or Taj Gibson.
Or Taj for that matter. Let's move on, though, to another player with the Crosstown Nets that has been in the news a lot, which is Kyrie Irving. Remember him?
Oh, God.
So, remember back in 2019, man?
That's what keeps me alive right now.
Remember back in 2019 when they signed with the Nets? Like, KD's like, yeah, you know, and the Knicks aren't really cool. Whatever. Well, look at them now. Swept out of the first round of the playoffs. It appears to be a disconnect between Kyrie and Nets management. He might be on the move. James Harden gone. Ben Simmons in. Who knows when he's going to play.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and KD finds himself in this situation.
I love it, man. I love it.
So I guess the first thing is, so he has a player option that we should get more visibility on in a few days on if he's going to opt into that or not. And he's going to be eligible for a max extension. A lot of rumors that the Nets are not going to give it to him. So
can you blame them?
No, I can't. But do you think that this is just a ploy by Kyrie, or is there actually some legitimacy to the idea that he might want out of Brooklyn?
I think it's the tug of war maybe between the organization and Kyrie, because yeah. I believe that Kyrie said, no, I'm going to opt out. And this was probably the plan all along since the beginning. So I'm going to opt out, and then I'll resign a max. And that's where, okay, yeah, sure.
It's like the Harden thing.
You're all staying here, so it's great. But all that happened with Kyrie these last couple of years. Oh, I need to rest out because I have other stuff on my mind. Like, you're getting paid millions to play for us. Like, dude, do your job. I also have things on my mind, but I still need to do my job. Everybody does. And then the COVID situation, it's like, COVID situation is different. It's his personal beliefs. I'm not going to get into that, but right. Yeah, okay. But he didn't play. again. So it's another year of the Nets paying him and him not playing as of outside situations, none than basketball. It's not he was injured. He didn't want to play, or he couldn't play because of the mandate and the vaccine. So can you blame him for like saying, okay, we'll give you the max, but to get paid, you need to play X amount of games. And maybe Kyrie felt insulted. I don't know why, but he did. And you know, he's like, oh, I'll walk.
Here's the deal. You have some guys like LeBron, Michael Jordan, that are just like addicted to it. You know, they're all about basketball. You know, I think Kevin Durant's like that. He's all about basketball, you know. That's why he tried playing on a fucked up Achilles when they were in the finals of Golden State against Toronto. Then you got guys like James Harden, Kyrie Irving, that aren't really in it like that. Like, they do it because, obviously, it's their profession. But they don't, like, love the game. You know, and you don't have to love the game to be – like, Lamar Odom didn't love the game. He had a pretty solid NBA career. You know, so it's not – I'm not saying you have to do that. However, you're the franchise player, one of the franchise players of this team. You know, there's expectations. You know, you leave – Boston, and you come here to team up with your friend, and you the expectation is championships, and you haven't been past the second round with this team. And you really look at it, like, he forces his way away from LeBron, which nobody ever does. Like, nobody ever says, oh, I don't want to play with LeBron anymore, I'm out. You know, and okay, so he gets to Boston, that shit doesn't work, forces his way out of there. Now he's in Brooklyn, that shit's not working. You know, and somebody made an interesting point about this. I can't remember who it was exactly, but they were saying, like, take away the shot against Golden State. What's his career? Realistically. Like, what if LeBron never came back to Cleveland? Is he just Russell Westbrook? Just a guy with a bunch of stats?
Ooh,
you know? I mean, that's the thing about Kyrie.
When he left Cleveland, you could understand, like, okay, everybody's saying he's the second banana to LeBron.
Yeah,
and he wants to be his own player. So... Right. You can't really fault guys for that. Like, Harden left, wanted to leave OKC as well to be his own man because he wanted to play more, and he went to the Rockets. So, and OKC chose Ibaka over Harden as well, but another conversation. And so you could understand that. But the way he left the Celtics to go to the Nets, yeah, that's a bit of an issue right there. So, like,
the availability is just bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it just looks bad. Like, perfect example. Andrew Wiggins didn't want to get the vaccine, right? But what happened? They're like, hey, look, man, you play in California. You're not going to be able to play with this team if you don't get this vaccine. He's like, okay, I'll just get it done. Now look at him. Now he's rejuvenated his career, right? And it's just like, I understand your personal beliefs, and I understand, but at some point, it becomes a situation where you make a conscious decision whether you have a passion for playing this game enough to make that kind of a decision. You know, and again, Andrew Wiggins made that decision, and a lot of other players made that decision, and Kyrie decided not to. And that's because basketball has always been secondary to him, as far as I'm concerned. And he's still, like, to me, the best ball-handling guard I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, he's amazing.
Can make an argument that he is the best ball handling player the NBA has ever seen. And I know that sounds extreme, but the things this guy does with the basketball, his layup package as a small guard is unrivaled, you know, and he can make big shots. I mean, the talent is no doubt there, but you don't know how long you're going to get him for.
His head is not in the game. If his head was in the game, he had that killer mentality. He kind of showed or looked like he had in the beginning in Cleveland.
Like, it was kind of like Shaq, right? You know, like Shaq in Orlando focused. You know, Shaq early years in LA focused. But as the years went on, he stopped taking care of his body, was more focused on the movies and the rap stuff. And he kind of like ended up being a great player, but not that upper echelon. Like, Shaq had the talent to be a top five player ever, right? Yeah. Kyrie has the talent to be the best point guard that ever lived. But... you know, you got to have both. You know, you can't just only skate by on talent. That's the thing.
You said it right about LeBron and Michael Jordan and even Kobe. They had
Yeah, of course.
Mentality as well. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of so there's a rumor out about the teams that he would want to go to, both LA teams, of course, Dallas, Miami, and a little sprinkling of Knicks in there as well, you know, just to spice it up. So do you think he'd actually switch over to the Knicks after saying fuck you, James Dolan, and going to the Nets? Or is that just, you know, something to drive up the price?
I don't even know how it drives up the price. Like,
what's well, the you know point what they do, man. The they're Knicks. Like, oh, Knicks are going to overpay for this guy. And then they're like, and then that's how these guys get paid elsewhere. Well, type thing.
Teams will try to pay him the max salary. So
right.
How can you overpay the max? It's sure. The max. So I don't even understand how the Knicks got it. But he wants to stay in New York. He loved the city. He wants to stay here.
I mean, okay. He's from the area. He's from New Jersey. But yeah,
maybe he wants to. Other than that, I don't really see it happening. I don't know. I wouldn't want him because all of the above as we mentioned. He's a great player, but mm-hmm. Yeah, all the problems because I've said this millions of times. Imagine if all this happening with the Nets was across city with the Knicks.
Oh, it'd be such a bigger deal. Yeah.
Such a bigger deal. Oh my God, it was such a thing. The Knicks had talent and they're letting him walk because they don't want to pay him. It's like, I don't want that kind of thing. We going our own path and Kyrie would absolutely destroy that because it would involve trading everyone else to get Kyrie help because Kyrie, well, he left Boston because he was playing with younger kids and he wanted to win now. So it would destroy the Knicks and I don't want that at all.
I look at it like right after they got eliminated by Boston, he had some interesting comments that he made about being more involved in the process and getting this team to the next level. I think he's actually committed to being in that. I think like KD might get fed up eventually and demand out, but I think this is all a ploy just to show the Nets that like, hey, if I really wanted to, I could go somewhere else, you know, don't fuck with me type thing. The funny thing about it is, I guarantee you, if he got traded here and people be apprehensive or whatever, feel however they're going to feel. But that first night, he rolls up into the Garden and drops 40 on whoever.
Oh, you know,
and people are like, oh my God, he's here. The savior has come. You know,
wouldn't you be?
I am not going to front at all. I would love it God. From that yeah. perspective. I mentioned to you this in our group chat before. Us as podcasters would love Kyrie here because it would give us so much to talk about. Not only like would he be balling, he'll probably have some weird, he'll be burning sage before the games. He'll be, you know, refusing to talk to the media. He'll be doing all his crazy Kyrie shit. And we'd be talking about it. Like, oh man, is this a detrimental to the chemistry of the team? Yeah, yeah. It's like, chemistry? But yeah, we'd be talking about it. Yeah.
We had Kyrie Irving. Fuck chemistry.
Yeah, we don't care about chemistry. We got a top 5 point guard in this league. You know, we would be insufferable. Okay.
Oh my God.
We would be so insufferable. But let me close out on this with Kyrie. So where do you think he's going to end up if he isn't back in Brooklyn?
I think he's going to LA.
Which LA?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? If one or the other.
Right.
I think if he teamed up again with I would love to see the Nets end up with Ben Simmons and Russell Westbrook because KD would be gone as well. So Kyrie goes to the Lakers. They need to trade in some way or sign trade or something like that. And Westbrook goes to the Nets and plays with Ben Simmons because the moment Westbrook gets in Brooklyn, that KD's like, get me the hell out of here, man. So in that point of view, I would love it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think of it with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, can you imagine Kawhi and Kyrie coexisting? Like, they look so different individuals. Like, maybe they're best friends and I don't know about it, but I don't know. That connection didn't quite seem right.
I'm going to tell you what, man. The Mavericks were mentioned. If they can swing that somehow, some way, I don't know if that's like a sign and trade with Brunson and somebody else to Brooklyn, but if that happens,
Don't send Brunson to the Nets,
man. I'm just saying, like, Kyrie alongside Luka is a perfect fit. Like, you want to talk about fit, like,
Jesus Christ.
He can play off ball when Luka's on the court with him. And he can also obviously run the offense when Luka's on the bench or when Luka kind of, like, needs a little bit of break while he's out there. So he's, like, everything you get with Brunson on steroids.
Oh, my God.
So yeah. I'm just saying, man, I don't think it happens. It would be fun. I don't think it happens, but if they could somehow swing a trade to get Kyrie into Dallas, you know, Dallas is, you know, in terms of his, like, political beliefs and stuff like that, yeah. He might have better foothold there than he would in New York City, you know. So I don't know, man. It makes sense from a lot of angles, you know. So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened. But ultimately, I do think he ends up back in Brooklyn. I think
probably.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think it's that far gone. But
speaking of it, well, we mentioned him.
Yeah.
What about the Lillard thing, the post with Kevin Durant?
Oh, man.
Like, what?
I think that was an optics thing for Dame. Like, everybody thinks that, yeah, okay, you say you're committed, but you don't want – you're going to, you know, get shipped out to Philly or get shipped out to the Knicks or get shipped out to Miami or some shit like that. I think he's trying to show, like, hey, I'm in for a long haul. I'm trying to recruit, you know. And now they got Jeremy Grant, obviously. They're probably going to re-up Simons. You know, hey, why not? Why not try to bring in KD, you know? And
that would be awesome.
That's actually a really good fit. Think about it, you know. Well, it's like two guys can shoot from wherever.
Well, you have KD, you make it fit. It's always a great fit.
KD's like literally, he's glue. He fits everywhere. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, if he's the guy you want.
If he was more of a, I believe if he was more of a vocal leader, mm-hmm. like, because his mind seems like to be into basketball, but he just wants to play basketball. Just he doesn't want the fuss. And
well, that's why pairing up with Dame is perfect. Dame is that vocal leader.
Yeah, but if he was more of that vocal leader, maybe Kyrie wouldn't be doing any of this.
That's fair. That's a good point. If he had taken control of the situation.
Can you imagine? Well, Michael, I was thinking about Michael Jordan taking up with this. He took up with Rodman, but he had an agreement with Rodman, with Dennis Rodman. Like, okay, you go, do your thing, but I want you playing.
And there was a respect factor.
He played.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that no one would do this to Kobe or LeBron. Like they would not even Jimmy Butler. Look at Jimmy Butler and Timberwolves.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would love to see him play with Dame, by the way.
That'd be fun, man. That'd be fun. You know, as basketball fans, we would have to appreciate that. But that is going to wrap us up here. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of the podcast with just me and Rafa this week. And like I said, hopefully Alex will be back with us next week. Just kind of want to give you guys a reminder that we are available and active on Twitter at WW Knicks Podcast on that platform. We're creeping up super close to 1,000 followers. I was about to say subscribers. 1,000 followers. And so we love having the convos with you. Like, and it's a passion, man, especially this time of year. Everybody's kind of thinking about the future of the team and who's coming in, who's leaving, who's doing this, who's doing that.
Yeah, man.
Another thing
I still love the guy that said John Wall would be perfect on the Knicks because he could dunk over me. Like, no shit, dude.
Like he's an NBA player, right? was funny. Well, you had mentioned about that. And I was just like, yeah, no shit, Sherlock. Dude, like
Ron Baker.
You know what that reminded me of? Did you ever see that Brian Scalabrine quote? If anybody doesn't know, Brian Scalabrine famously used the bench writer for the Celtics for a number of years.
Yeah.
He does color commentary for them now, but everybody assumed he was trash. He's like, I'm closer to being LeBron than you are close to being me. And talking to a random fan. And that's so true. Like that's the thing. Like people need to understand, you might be in your little rec league hitting a couple jumpers. Like, and I was watching this real quick. I was watching this series with him. He has on local Boston television where he goes to gyms, right? Scalabrine, and challenges people to one-on-one, first to 11 or whatever, right? And he's like, it's easy for me because, like, I kind of, you know, just mess with them, let them get a couple buckets early. But then I turn it on when I get annoyed. And he's like, your average person has, like, 2 to 3 moves that they can do. They're going to dribble one way, take a jumper this way, or dribble or drive another way. He's like, but, like, when you play guys like Kobe, he was his example, like, Kobe has, like, 100 moves that he could put on. You don't know which one's coming. And that's the difference, right? And so whenever people say, oh, yeah, well, you don't know what you're talking about, and this person could do this to you or whatever, like we say, like, oh, Ryan Arcidiacono could cross you up. Like, yeah, no shit, he could cross me up. He got a full-ride scholarship to one of the best college programs in the country, and he's one of the, like, 300 best basketball players on the planet. Of course he could do that. You know, like stop that. You know, let's calm down. But one last thing I wanted to mention was that Rafa was on a draft podcast, right? You know, yeah. a live reaction in Portuguese. The channel is on YouTube. It's called Pausa Técnica, which translates roughly to timeout. I hope I pronounced that okay, Rafa.
I love it.
I hope I didn't butcher too much to our Portuguese listeners. I tried my best. But check that out. We will link that in the description as well so that you can – did they upload it to their YouTube page,
Rafa? Yeah, it's a big-ass video. Cool, yeah, cool, but cool. It was live. It's updated.
Yeah, if you are, we do have, like, Portuguese listeners. So if you are one of those Portuguese listeners, or you speak Portuguese and live somewhere else, check that out. You know, and watch Rafa live react to the draft with a few other fans across the globe. You know, worldwide. Yeah, Knicks, ask, so we are worldwide.
Yeah, see me ask who the fuck is Diang.
It's great. Oh, God. I can only imagine how great that was.
Oh, my God.
All right, guys. That's going to wrap us up for this week's episode of Worldwide Knicks. We will be back next week to talk a little bit more about what the Knicks did in free agency. And so that should always be a fun conversation. So
I'm scared.
Then, yeah, same. So until then, have a great week and go Knicks.